It's up to you.
Well, good morning. Boy, it's good to see each and every one of you here. If you're online, a special welcome to you. And if you are a guest or a visitor with us this morning, a special welcome to you. And I pray that God would just draw us all closer to Him as we gather as the body of believers to praise Him, to dig into His Word for a moment or two and just see what He has in store for us and our lives. So, friends, as we begin the message this morning, let's pray. Father, we thank You so much as we gather together today to once again, Lord, hear Your Word. Proclaim to our hearts this morning, Lord, that You are the light of the world, the light that has come to show us the way. We thank You, Lord, that You have gathered us together, and we gather and thank You in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, here we are, week 2 of our sermon series. Taking good notes, Tristan, because there will be a test afterwards, okay? You know, last week we opened up the series called The Great I Am. We have all heard those statements made by our Lord in Scripture. We have heard it going all the way back to Genesis and Exodus. Last week's message was, I am the bread of life. We learned that Jesus came to this earth to nourish us with the Word and with the sacraments that we will partake of shortly. Today we go right into our second I Am statements. These are the statements that are recorded in the Gospel of John. Today, the statement that Jesus makes, proclaims in chapter 8, verse 12, is, I am the light of the world. I don't know if you've thought much about that in the past, but hopefully God will speak to you today. Because it's interesting, because I had a couple people come up to me after last week's message, and they said, Pastor, you know what you said really got me thinking. And I get that. I really do because, and I'm not going to embarrass you this week, but I get it because we've all been learning that whenever we come face to face with the realities of our faith, a difficult decision must be made. It can go two ways. Because when the Holy Spirit confronts us, some of us will desert Him, while others will declare their allegiance. And that's why I just love this section of Scripture, because it puts Jesus right up in front of who He is. Every time Jesus makes this distinction, I am, He is, in fact, affirming that He is above all else God. Yeah. Every time Jesus uses the distinction of I am, He is emphatically saying, especially to the Jewish people here, that I am God, Yahweh. Yahweh. It's interesting, that name Yahweh, I don't know if you know this, but this title was so sacred that it could only be spoken, that word, that name could only be spoken by the high priest, and that was only once a year on the Day of Atonement. Or you might know it better as Yom Kippur. And it wasn't until much later that a more descriptive name was given, Elohim. Elohim meaning a monotheistic or the creator God, the God of Israel, because they needed that. And then it kind of transitioned to Hashem. For those who were still uneasy, even saying Elohim, because the word Hashim means literally the name. So they were pretty safe. Talk about hedging your bet. Okay, I get it. But that's why this designation, I am, is the declaration to the Hebrew and the Jewish people of Jesus' absolute supremacy. And just as the bush burned so brightly on Moses as he knelt before God on Mount Sinai, Jesus now is the light of the entire world for us. So if you brought your Bibles this morning, open up to John's Gospel chapter 8. If you're online, it's easy to grab. If you forgot your Bible, we're going to put it all up on the screens for you. We'll go to our focus verse this morning, John chapter 8, verse 12. You read the yellow part. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So when Jesus used this phrase, I am, he did so with purpose. And most of those who were around him, they didn't miss the obvious connection that Jesus was making. I mean, let's face it, the world back then, well, and the world now, is walking in darkness because of our sin. Jesus is the light who brings us back to the holiness of God. Jesus came to this earth and bridged that gap for us back to the Father. Jesus is the light of the world because he is the glory of God. Amen? Yeah. Jesus is the revelation of the Father's heart. Now, as we look at this gospel reading this morning, clearly the I am statements of Jesus were not popular at all with the church leaders at that time. And this kind of hits home for us too, the same thing, because when people argue the realities of Jesus with us, it's nothing new. People have been defending their faith for centuries. Because when we read when Jesus was confronted by the church leaders in verse 53, we see that these guys got really mad. And they said, are you greater than our father Abraham who died? Are you greater than the prophets who died? Just who do you think you are? So Jesus, never one for being afraid to confront the legalistic church leaders, he takes it just a little bit further in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and he was glad. Now, you can imagine these guys' position. They did not know how to respond to this scandalous statement that Jesus was making, so they did like what most people do. They turned to sarcasm. Verse 57. Okay, you don't have to read the yellow part this time. You are not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? Sarcasm. Bottom line was they were probably disgusted by the absurdity of these statements that Jesus was making. But hey, our Lord's not done yet. No. And this is where Jesus lays it all on the line for them to take it in. Because in verse 58, he goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, needless to say, if you think they were mad before, Jesus says, the scripture tells us they really got mad. Now, in fact, they picked up stones and they were going to kill him. But our Lord just walked away. Can you imagine that scene? We were talking about this in our Bible study. Don was suggesting that you look at their position. They've been hearing their whole lives that the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming. They expected this white stallion, this army, but no, not this guy, Jesus, this guy that they saw grow up. I remember watching you when you played outside the synagogue, yeah. So this brings us all back to our focus verse. Verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, Jesus says. Now, I'm sure that you have seen the metaphor of light throughout the scriptures symbolizing God as often as you study. It symbolizes his faithfulness. It symbolizes his holiness, this light. And as Christians, friends, we are called to not only walk in the light, but we are called to what? Be the light to others. to be the light, to be that gospel that they have never heard before, to be that shoulder to cry on, to be that single source where you can provide them with the comforting words of Jesus. So as we continue to unpack the I am statements of the I am light of the world, let's look at the attributes of light. But let's look at it in, no pun intended, in light of both the physical and the spiritual attributes of Jesus. Because the first attribute that we see of light is that light reveals. Light reveals. Light enables you to see things in the darkness that have been there all along, but you've never seen them before. That's because just as light reveals, darkness conceals. Without the light, you can't see anything. Can't see where you're going. It camouflages what you've done. It was the great author C.S. Lewis who said, "I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, not only because I see it, but because by it all things are seen." All right, let's look at our second attribute of light. Light gives life. How many gardeners out there? Yeah, my friend Tony just see his garden. You can set up shop out there. We can sell your cucumbers, you know, three. I get 10%. But without light, all living plants on earth would die. Light sustains life. Without light, we couldn't see, and all this would be gone. All right, let's look at our third attribute of light. Light overcomes darkness. Or I could even say light defeats darkness. Because in Scripture, if we look at the word darkness, and it's usually a metaphor for sin and death. John even wrote in the beginning of his gospel in chapter 1, "The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That is because the light of God, Jesus, protects us. Jesus has told us, "I will never leave you. I won't leave you in the dark. I won't leave you wandering around where you can't protect yourself. I will always be there for you." All right, let's look at our fourth attribute of light. Light gives warmth. How many of you have ever been to Alaska? Anybody? Ever been in an igloo? Didn't think I was going to ask you that question this morning, did you? Well, the early Alaskan natives knew about this. Could you realize that, understand that a typical igloo way back when was about 5 by 5. And if you properly place a candle for reflection in a 5 by 5 room, it'll raise the temperature from below freezing to 45 degrees. So what does that tell you? If you ever go to Alaska, bring your candles, right? Yeah, okay. Light gives warmth. It's the Bible tells us that the warmth is, again, that is equated to the comforts of God, the comforts that we get in His protection and in His peace. All right, so let's recap so far. Light reveals, light gives life, light overcomes darkness, and light gives warmth. We look at our fifth attribute this morning, light provides guidance. Direction. How many of you have ever got up in the middle of the night to go get a glass of water and hit your toe on the couch? Or stepped on a dog toy or cat toy? Or now that I've got a 3-year-old in the house, stepped on a toy, period. Can't see where you're going without light, right? Light can help you see where you're going. Light can help you avoid those things in your life that can get you into trouble. As a matter of fact, I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 43. "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me." Do we follow the lead of the light in our lives? Now let's move to probably the most well-known light reference in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. And this is where you're on. And God said,
"Let there be light."
And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. So if you notice, the first thing that God created was light in order to overcome darkness. Boy, there's a whole sermon just in that line alone. You know, in all of the names that Jesus had and the Messiah had in all of Scripture, one of the names is the light. And in fact, Daniel, the great prophet Daniel, wrote in Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him. See, when Jesus declares himself as the light of the world, he was in fact declaring his deity. And in the Gospel of John, the word light is used 24 times, primarily in prophesying Jesus as the Messiah. So this concept of light and its attributes were known very well and very respected by the Jewish people. It really got them thinking, just like what the folks told me last week. This whole concept of light. We've heard in our songs this morning, we see light is something that it is always there. It is always around us, and we would be lost, literally, without it. So let me just kind of try to tie this all together and bring it to a close, because I started the message today with a rather broad stroke in order to narrow it down and get a better understanding of the name and the title and the meaning of it. Because John recorded in chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And in declaring himself, he's the light of the world, Jesus is declaring, friends, that he is the exclusive, the only source of spiritual light in our lives. If we're looking anyplace else, you're in the dark. Jesus is the exclusive source. No other source of spiritual truth is available to mankind other than Jesus. He who came to give us light, eternal light. And for Jesus to claim that he is the light of the world, friends, you got to believe this was no small thing when he said this. Because, friends, God sits on a throne of light. He revealed himself to Moses in the light of a burning bush. Then he lit up the desert as he wrapped himself in a pillar of light, as he led the people out of the slavery, out of the darkness. And then Jesus appeared to be as bright as lightning on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus flashed a blinding light into Paul's eyes on the road to Damascus. And look what Paul accomplished. Friends, Jesus gives us rest. And he gives us peace in his light. Always knowing how dangerous the darkness is. And in that, knowing that, Jesus still gave himself as the light of the world to us, for us, on the cross. And in that moment when he gave up his spirit, darkness once again covered the earth. But then, by the power of his name, he banished the darkness and flooded our lives in light and opened the doors to his kingdom for us. Friends, Jesus is the imago Dei, the image of God. And he came to give light from the Father to the far corners of the universe. Jesus is a shining light that alone enlightens the darkened souls of man. Jesus is the gentle light that pours warmth into the chilled human heart. Jesus is the gracious light that streams eternal love into the broken lives of Adam's fallen race. And Jesus is the pure light, the redeeming light who speaks new light into the ones who are dead in their trespass and sins. He is the light of lights. And there is absolutely no darkness in him. So friends, as we walk out this door today into the bright sunshine that we have been blessed with, may his light forever cover you in the mercy and the love that we get from our Lord Jesus. Amen.